This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's a special day. You know why it's a special day? It's because it is the birthday of this man. Bartolomeo Anthony Scott. Happy birthday to you. You want me to sing the whole thing?
Not at all, baby. For me? For me? See, they know. See, they know how to do it. See, they know how to put me in with the movie spoof, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Happy birthday, homie, is off Don't Be a Menace while drinking your juice in the hood to spoof off Don't Be a Menace. Oh, man. For me? I tell you what, I appreciate it, man. And listen, we've spent a bunch of birthdays over the years together, man, and I'm always grateful for that one. And listen, a lot of people this year didn't make their birthdays, so I want to be appreciative of the fact that I made mine. And you know, hopefully I got a couple more with you, big fella.
I think you do. And it's good to see you, brother, and happy birthday. And look, there's so much to get into today. Is the fantasy marathon continues with ESPN. So much football today, but some baseball as well, thanks to an off-the-wall tweet that we're going to get to in just a little bit. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. Of course, you can catch it all on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker as well by saying play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And Bart, we start with the Straight Talk today, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless with the New York Giants. And yesterday, they were having their owner speak and their general manager speak, and the Giants are in the middle of a stretch right now where they have not won a playoff game in 9 years. The last playoff game they won was Super Bowl 46. Hmm. And so here we are with only one playoff appearance in between. And you know what the natural question is when the owner comes out. Is someone on the hot seat? Who's on the hot seat? Is it Dave Gettleman? Let's take a listen to John Mara first in his response. Listen, we all know that Dave Gettleman is on the hot seat, that the Giants have been so bad over the last decade.
Explain to the people what you're talking about. To put it in perspective, the Giants have had the worst season, right? Worse than the Cleveland Browns.
Worst record.
Right, worst record than the Cleveland Browns. So let that marinate, right? Yep. The Browns just had a decent season last year. The Browns were the laughing stock of the NFL. But under the radar, the Giants have been worse.
They have been. And over this 10-period stretch, they've had so many bad years, and they haven't been able to climb out of the hole. And think about this. This is the longest streak without a playoff win that they've had since between 1962 and 1980, when they went 19 years without.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. And only one playoff appearance during this 9 years. Here we are. Bart, somebody's on the hot seat. The Giants in the NFC East, in my estimation, have every opportunity to win the division this year. And if they don't, it's because their quarterback didn't play well and Saquon Barkley wasn't healthy enough.
Well, it's interesting that you pull up Saquon Barkley, because no matter what, he'll always be compared to Sam Darnold. He'll always be compared to Lamar Jackson. He'll always be compared to Josh Allen. Right, so we know one guy's still a question mark on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other guy looks like he can be an MVP candidate this year. The other guy has already won an MVP and won playoff games for their organization. Saquon Barkley, controversial pick to take a running back that early. I think he was it higher than Adrian Peterson, like higher than Ezekiel Elliott, like the number two overall pick or number three. Right. Number two overall pick. And yes, is he like red, yellow jacket talented? Absolutely. But I ask you this. If you had to take a running back, would you take Nick Chubb or would you take Saquon Barkley?
Well, you could have taken Nick Chubb a round later. I would take the Nick Chubb right now because I know he's going to be on the field. I know he's going to produce.
The combination, you could have had the combination of Nick Chubb and Josh Allen.
Wow. Wow.
That's what you passed on.
And that just blew the mind of every Giant fan in the entire world.
And you could have Becton on the other.
That.
You can have Becton and Wirf.
Yep.
Instead of Thomas.
Yep.
So You're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to miss. And I'm not calling Daniel Jones a miss. I'm not calling Saquon Barkley a miss. I'm just saying there are better options out there, right?
Well, Dave Gettleman was asked that exact question yesterday. Do you regret drafting Saquon Barkley number two?
Yeah, think about it. Yeah. Yo.
Let's stop it right there.
When you have that, right, in radio, when I first got in television, I just go with, right? And it's like fillers, right? When I'm trying to figure out what the hell I want to say next.
Right.
That awkward pause, you mother, you know what. You just going to ask me that in front of everybody? Because it's the most logical choice, right? Number two, you talk about value per position. Most important pieces on the team, left tackle, quarterback, pass rusher, maybe lockdown corner, because they're a force multiplier, right? But also, you know, those guys have at least a 10-year shelf life. And a great lineman has about a 12 to 13-year shelf life. And a quarterback, at this day and age, with how protected they are, have a 15-year lifespan, right? Saquon Barkley, we'll see if you still think that's the right choice. When he says, I want to be paid like Christian McCaffrey, let's see if you say, okay, we're going to pay you a 4 to 5 year extension. We're going to give you $15 to $16 million per. Then we'll see if your actions match your words, Gettleman, because it's easy for your words to go out there and write checks that your mouth ain't had, or your checkbook or your hand ain't had to write or cash yet.
Listen, the other part is the quarterback, okay? Because Daniel Jones.
Oh, Junior Whopper.
Is now in year three, Junior Whopper, because those hands let go of the football too much. And he has had the trouble with fumbling. And yesterday I heard a lot of this, too. Well, it's now, you know, he had three systems in 3 years, and now it's a second system, same system 2 years in a row. Listen, that's all great. This is a year where this quarterback has weapons and has a running game and has a slightly improved offensive line. It still needs to be better, but he needs to be better. To me, this is 65%, 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. That kind of a season. That's not unreasonable, and that is going to be the difference between them winning and losing in 2021.
I mean, he's got his weapons, right? I mean, he has arguably some of the most explosive weapons in all the NFL. You look at Kadarius Toney, who's going to be an electric slot receiver. Kenny Galladay went and got him, you know, his number one receiver. Sterling Shepard is a tremendous number two receiver. Darius Slayton has been a surprise. One of the things that saved Gettleman's job is, I believe, him finding Darius Slayton and Leonard Williams last year.
Fifth round guy,
finally living up to his potential with what they gave up with a third round draft pick. If Leonard Williams didn't have that production that he had last year, we'd be saying this dude gave up a third round draft pick for a guy that the team had given up on. So they have no more excuses right now. The problem is the division in which they play in. I think that Washington, with their defense, where I think the Giants is a great all-around team, I think that the Redskins are more dominant at what they do on one side of the ball, and I think that the Dallas Cowboys are more dominant at what they can do on the offensive side of the ball. So let's see if the complete team that's good, maybe potentially at both sides of the ball, can beat teams that are exceptional or maybe top 5 to top 10 on one particular side of the ball.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It's been so tough to watch for such a long time. And if there's not a step forward taken this year, then I don't know how anybody survives. The head coach, all right, maybe I'd understand that because it's only year two. But beyond that, how do you talk about all the improvements that you have made and you haven't seen the results of them? It's amazing. For more on this, we go right now to the Goodyear Hotline and welcome in Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL writer, insider, who joins us right now during this fantasy marathon as well. Adam, it's Chris Carlin and Bart Scott. And we started talking about the Giants today, and we heard from John Mara and Dave Gettleman. This has to be a make or break year for the Giants. At least it feels that way. What is your take on where that organization is right now and the need to win in the short term?
Chris, I think every year is a make or break year for teams in the league. Unless you're Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin, I think we've seen over time that anybody who doesn't win is under scrutiny, heat, criticism, pressure, and is at risk of losing their job. That's how the league works. You don't win in the league, you could be sent packing the next year. And that's how the league operates. Now, if you want to talk about the Giants, who haven't won in a while, it would only stand to reason that they haven't won in a while, that people would be under pressure. So, yes, that's logical. I don't know that they're coaching for their jobs today or playing for their jobs, but that's the way the league works. You know, unless you are a long-established, successful coach and organization, people's jobs are on the line every year. It's honestly, I think, one of the reasons that makes the job or makes the sport so popular and so appealing to people, because it's a reality show that plays out in front of people's eyes.
Now, Adam, to kind of further that point, I guess specifically what we're asking about it is Dave Gettleman is in trouble, because we understand that Joe Judge is still in the newlywed phase, and maybe the game has passed him by, because – you know, it's rare that you ever see a running back, no matter how great or special they are, pick second overall. And we're entering the era where we're discussing every day, is Lamar Jackson about to get paid? He's a former MVP. Josh Allen is potentially an MVP. And Dave Gettleman famously said that he didn't see any franchise quarterbacks within this draft. So he passed on these guys. Now, you can say that the jury is still out on Danny Dimes, but is Joe Judge specifically on the hot seat? Because if they don't win now, then that's just another year, 4 years in which he's, you know, really built his team to mediocrity.
Well, look, Dave Gettleman's name has come up every year. You don't need me to pile on and put pressure on the guy.
Please do.
Okay? I mean, everybody's done that, right? I'm not saying anything new. That you want to question, analyze the decisions, you could do that. Again, I come back to the fact, here's the one that I come back to that's just, in my own mind, it's just interesting and simple. They take Daniel Jones. Yeah, and you could debate the merits of a running back early. I'm not a fan of it because of the way the pay structure works. And, you know, when they signed Saquon Barkley, he was like automatically one of the two or three highest paid running backs in the league when they drafted him. And running backs, you know, that's been the most disposable position in the NFL over time. And then they go and take Daniel Jones the next year, and then the year after, and this is where it's interesting to me. They took Andrew Thomas at four.
Yep.
And at the time, Tua and Justin Herbert were on the board, and Giants loved Justin Herbert. Like, they did a lot of
work.
Yeah,
they were sucking for a duck around here for a while, remember? And he stayed in.
Yeah. They loved him. They loved him the year before when he didn't come out in the Daniel Jones draft. Okay? He didn't come out. He went back to school for another year. And then their pick comes up and they take the tackle. You know what I say to that? At that point in time, it's easy to say now, especially after Justin Herbert looked the way he did. If you like Justin Herbert that much before, take him then. And have both quarterbacks. Like the Cowboys once took Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh. Like the Cleveland Browns considered taking Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. They considered doing that. Instead, they went Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. And it's an unorthodox approach, but it probably enhances the chances that you're going to get that position right moving forward, right? And just think about where the organization would be today if they had done that.
Adam Schefter, ESPN Senior NFL Insider, joining us on Fantasy Football Marathon as it continues on Barton Hahn. All right, Adam, Deshaun Watson, this is the guy that led the league in passing yards last year, and it seemingly is yo-yoing back and forth between him practicing and him not. Where are we in this process from what you can gather?
Well, look, we're in a situation where there are investigations, simultaneous investigations going on with the NFL, with the Houston Police Department. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney, held a press conference today in which he said Deshaun Watson hasn't done anything wrong, hasn't done anything illegal. Yet these allegations continue to surface and investigations continue to go on. And it doesn't look like he's playing for Houston, that they're going to put him on the field. They're not engaging teams in any trade talks. And honestly, it looks like the Texans are content to just wait to see how this whole thing plays out before they move on from him. And it looks like it's going to take a long time to have this play out because Deshaun Watson is not scheduled to be deposed until February. So it may be a season of just waiting to see what comes of the situation in Houston and the allegations that have been levied against Deshaun Watson before we get any football clarity. And I think that will be true here, is that there will need to be legal clarity and answers before we get football clarity and answers.
Are they maybe really taking a risk on maybe not getting as much as they could get for him as if they could try and trade him before this season? Because you think Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be a free agent next year, right? Because, you know, he came back and, you know, the handshake, wink, wink deal that, you know, they'll let him go to a team of his choice. And also, I just want to
They would trade him.
Right. Yeah,
that would be
exactly. So that hurts the value because now that's a better quarterback that's out there.
No. Because Aaron Rodgers at that point in time would be a 39-year-old quarterback that you're trading for. And there are always multiple teams that need quarterbacks. And the quarterback landscape will change over the course of this season. And if there is clarity to Deshaun Watson's case, and if he's allowed to resume his football career without any issues, and if there are no charges brought forth, and he can play football without any of these women pursuing him, or however you want to categorize that, and his football career is allowed to go on, there'll be teams lined up for him.
Okay, so I guess let me ask you this, because we saw yesterday, you know, Jamal Adams finally got his money, and we know that Russell Wilson said that he would give up money to make sure that he can sign Jamal Adams and sign Dwayne Brown contracts.
He's not giving up money, but okay. Yeah, he'd restructure.
Restructure. Does that mean that he's all in with Seattle? So maybe the rumors and all the things that happened.
Well, but first of all, he never said he would give up money. No, do you know any players that give up money for another player? Give up?
I did. We never got the player, but you know, I'm glad I see
Rick
talking
around.
It was Nnamdi, right? We wanted to try to get Nnamdi, and he ended up going to Philly, and I gave money back, restructured my contract, gave some cheese back, and messed up my guarantee. Yeah. So I'm the only dummy in the world that ever did that, so I apologize, Adam.
Well, I don't know too many players who are willing to give up money. If they're willing to make $100, I'll take 90 if you can go get Nnamdi Asomugha or whoever it is, right? Like that is uncommon. And you know, I never heard Russell Wilson say that. Russell Wilson came out supporting Dwayne Brown, but he's not giving up money, I don't believe.
Well, he may have restructured, right?
Okay, restructured, okay.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, of course. But anytime a player restructures, usually it enhances or enables them to get more guarantees or more right, something. Yeah. They're getting something out of it for giving the team cap relief. Like, they get something aside from getting the players they want. But the point of it is that, look, teams will be interested in Deshaun Watson if he is allowed to play legally and the discipline has been served, whatever that is. And teams will be interested in Aaron Rodgers if that's what happens with him after the season, that he winds up getting traded. He set it up for himself to be traded if that's what he chooses. Maybe he wants to stay there and finish his career. Maybe he wants to be traded. That'll be his decision. We'll see what he decides. And so, yeah, again, so where were we before? I lost track of the original question, talking about Rodgers, Watson, giving back money.
Does this mean that Wilson is going to be there long term, that he feels like Seattle might be the place if he was willing to do that to try to help them?
No, I don't know about that. I think that they have solved that for this season. They've put that to bed. Look, how many quarterbacks this offseason did we see want to change places? Carson Wentz wanted out of Philly. Matthew Stafford wanted out of Detroit. Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston. Aaron Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay. Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle. Those are the ones we really know about. And there's this NBAization of the NFL here. No more spot visible than at the quarterback position. And if you think that that trend's just going to go away and Russell Wilson's set and is going to be happy and peaceful and sing songs for the rest of his career in Seattle, I don't think it's that simple. But look, it's up to them for the two sides to get along and make him happy, and relationships evolve and change. And sometimes people, you know, like any relationship, right, they go through ups and downs. And we've seen some of the downs with the quarterbacks this past offseason. And maybe they'll find ups in future years. But I think there's a real chance that the issues will resurface again at some point.
Adam Schefter, ESPN Senior NFL Insider. Hey, great stuff. We appreciate it, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. It is going to be fascinating to watch some of these situations play out, especially Deshaun Watson, considering everything that has gone down there.
Yeah, I mean, and to get Dwayne Brown and pay Jamal Adams and to lose Russell Wilson would be catastrophic.
Oh, my Lord. And they had no choice but to pay Jamal Adams, as it turned out.
Because they gave him two first-round draft picks.
Exactly.
He had no choice. And now he's the highest-paid, you know, safety in the league. And now Tyrann Mathieu is like, hold up, what about me?
It's Barton Hahn coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Chris Carlin in for Allen today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Lots of talk so far regarding the Giants and their situation for the coming year and whether or not Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley can actually propel them to get back to the playoffs without a playoff win in their last 9 years. Up next, though, how counterproductive is it for an owner to publicly criticize his team? We discuss next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio at ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bartholomew's birthday today. Love it. Love it.
Look, Curtis Blizzo.
It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today. Check us out on your smart speakers at Play ESPN Radio. And of course, Bart and Hahn is presented by Progressive Insurance. When you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle insurance, you save big. Visit Progressive.com. So the Mets are just playing awful baseball since the All-Star break. They have now lost, let's see, it is now 20 out of, I believe they're 9-20 since the break, which is just terrible. And last night they lose 3-2 to San Francisco. They got swept by the Dodgers over the weekend. After they're in San Francisco, they got to go to L.A., and then they come home to face the Giants again. So this could be a wrap on their season. But
is it?
That's not the big story. The big story is the fact that the owner, Steve Cohen, came out this morning and tweeted about his team. And it was not necessarily a good tweet. Bart, he's questioning the offense. It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie.
Sound like he's about to fire hitting coach.
They already did that.
Well, who's the hitting coach to the hitting coach? He's getting fired too.
Hugh Quartelbaum is the guy, and I don't think he's going. If they're going to fire a second hitting coach in a year, you probably have more problems. Look, they're not scoring runs at all. I get that, but this is not the problem. They haven't scored runs all year. They had injuries. But it can't be helpful, even though I'm enjoying the heck out of it, because I love the fact that we have another owner who is outspoken. It can't be helpful to your team to have the owner come out this morning and say that.
It's counterproductive, and the team can do one of two things. They can use this as fuel to hit and win in spite of him, and then when he tries to come in and get him high fives in the clubhouse, I mean, get your ass out.
Oh, you're gonna get a cutout of Steve Cohen?
Yeah, cutout Steve Cohen, right?
Take a little piece off each time, like in Major League.
Exactly, it's gonna be.
I don't know if anybody wants to see that.
Well, I think instead of going mystic, it might be a different outfit underneath, or something like that, a bunny suit or something underneath. But it is counterproductive. And listen. Without Jacob DeGrom, we knew that they were going to struggle. And if I'm the team, I'm saying you knew Jacob was injured. Why didn't you do more? You wanted to tweet before, ask the fans, who should we get? Well, you didn't go out and do your job either, because you should have said money's no object and let's mortgage the future for the present. Let's do what we got to do. So you didn't give the all hands on deck, let's go ahead and go and overspend to get what we needed, which really was an arm. And you could have got some more offense as well.
Look, I understand that the pitching market wasn't great. But there were a couple of guys who could have been difference makers who were available. So they knew about Jacob DeGrom's situation, that he was out until at least September at the time that the deadline rolled around, because they announced it about an hour after the deadline.
Right.
But having said that, you had a team that in the first half of the year was great pitching, with a 3.43 ERA. In the second half, they now have a 4.82. It's not just DeGrom. So you decided, let's go get a shortstop who can help us slug our way out of this when we can't score runs to begin with?
Right.
What kind of mentality is that?
And you knew he was a high strikeout guy anyway.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, what are you talking about? It's not like
he's been hurt this entire time, basically.
And then, I don't understand what it is, man. You go out and you get Baez. And, And on the other side of town, we were laughing like, oh, this is the Mets town. They're going to take over. They got a guy that can go to the vault instead of the ATM. And he ended up not going to the ATM. He went up and got a cashier's check from Western Union, because he could have did more. He could have did more than what he did.
He's at a check cashing place at Yonkers.
Exactly. You know what I mean? He could have did more. And, I don't know if this is going to galvanize the team, but it's not looking good, right? And by the time, you think of that DeGrom comes back, you could be saying, you know what? Why risk him? Let's shut him down for the year.
Oh, I don't think he should pitch again this year. Absolutely not. And let's also be clear on this. You have guys who are not performing. Maybe Michael Conforto just isn't that great of a player.
If we're still asking that after all these years, then we have the answer if he's a guy, right?
We do have the answer if you still have to ask the question.
And next year, they won't get off with having Cano. Cano will be back.
You know how every once in a while you'll have a player that is young that you just hear about and you just know in your heart they're going to be good, and you're always going to treat them a little differently as a fan. You know who that is?
Who's that?
It's one of your guys. I hate to say it. It's Dom Smith. Dom Smith's OPS this year is .691. He's playing every day and he's not delivering. And now the Mets have completely fallen apart. They're 4.5 out. The Braves and the Phillies are playing well, and it's impossible to see this. Impossible to see where they're actually going to be able to come back when they've got this stretch in front of them. Bart, by the time they're done with the Giants series at home, this 10-game period, good night, the lights.
Could be a wrap.
It is the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, because, summer. Try Dash Pass for free, get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The NFL, as we know, now has a 17-game schedule. I think it takes all a little something for us to get used to saying that. So what records could we see fall this year? Is a 6,000-yard season possible for Patrick Mahomes? Well, no, but it is for somebody else. We'll tell you who next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
This really is your birthday.
Yeah, this all my greatest hits. Y'all get it twisted, huh? Sometimes you just look into some drops, you know what I mean? You just never know what you need.
I love it. Absolutely. That was fantastic yesterday. I don't know what was in your OJ yesterday morning, boy, but you were flying. You were absolutely flying, screaming at people, asking them just when you were off for a week.
Did ya?
And now he's drinking a gallon of water. It's like he's a player walking around campus with a gallon of water because you got to stay hydrated. It's amazing. You like you're in your playing days again.
Well, we're in summer, right? So you know you just respond. You know you irresponsible during summer. Eat whatever you want.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's get it right, man. I got to get my body in shape because I always do damage during Thanksgiving.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to pose this question. It's Fantasy Football Marathon here on ESPN continuing today. In just about 13 minutes, Field Yates is going to join us, our NFL insider and fantasy analyst as well, to give us a breakdown on who you should be looking at with your fantasy season. And we got us to thinking, with the 17-game season, is it actually possible that we could see a 6,000-yard passer? Now, there have been, just for context's sake, 12 times that a quarterback has thrown for 5,000 yards, and 8 different quarterbacks have done it. So, you know, it's been done more than once.
Who's the most surprising person on that list?
The most surprising person on that list?
Better be like Ryan Fitzpatrick or something.
No,
like that.
It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, I wouldn't say there's a surprising person on that list unless you were to call Matthew Stafford a surprising person on that list. Patrick Mahomes has done it. We've seen
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston, yeah, that's probably the most surprising. I take it back.
Did you see?
I take it back.
That is a walking meme. Did you see like the little thing they have of him now at practice? Like with the bean, he like humping the elbow. This is classic, man.
As long as he doesn't start licking his fingers,
it's
again,
like this is your
W.
It's like this is your starting quarterback. Anybody go check out him dancing? I guess they got some type of like pop music going.
Yeah,
and he just humping the air. Then he started walking.
Well, I know that wasn't the amount of interceptions he was going to throw when he's got the number one in the air, because he threw about as many interceptions as yards he threw for when he threw for 5,000 a couple of years ago. But last year, you've had Mahomes throw for 5,000, you've had Stafford do it, and then that wasn't last year, mind you, but Mahomes was 2018, Stafford was in 2011, he had Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Bart, I don't think Mahomes is the guy that's most likely to do it just because of the way they play to throw for 6,000. And keep this in mind. So you've got 17 games now.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning holds the record, 5,497, something like that in a season.
5,400 yards thrown?
Yeah.
Wow.
5,477?
That wasn't the Super Bowl year. That was the year
before. That was 2013. It was 2 years before. So he averaged 342 yards a game to get to that number. If you were over a 17-game season to throw for 6,000 yards, you have to average 353. Mahomes isn't the guy.
Yeah.
You know who the guy is? Matthew Stafford's the guy.
Listen, Matthew Stafford, I told you, was my sneaky MVP pick. And with the loss of Cam Akers, it only emboldens him more to throw the football. And look what he has on the other side. He has a defense that's going to give him the ball right back. If he goes and throws a bomb or goes and throws a ball and goes down the field, the next time the opposing team might be having 3-and-out and punting the ball back to him again. Like, he's going to get multiple opportunities. And we always say on the defensive side of the ball that a 3-and-out is just as effective as a turnover. And he has the number one defense in the NFL. And guess what? If he continues to throw for those many yards, what are they going to have to do? Throw the football. What happens when the opposing team has to throw the football? The clock stops. So the clock's on the stop, so the opposing team isn't going to be able to sort the game away. He's just going to go and air it out again. McVay has no chill in him.
No, he doesn't. I think the only thing that has worked against him in this possibility is that he lost Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Cam Akers could have been a big difference maker in the pass game there. To give you an idea, when Peyton Manning threw for those nearly 5,500 yards, he had Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas both over 1,000 for the season. He had Julius Thomas and Wes Welker both over 700. And no Sean Moreno had 60 catches that season. So that gives you a fuller picture. But with Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp,
DeSean Jackson,
Van Jefferson, who's a young, really good, I think, overlooked receiver, the tight end Tyler Higbee is really good.
Yeah.
And look, Darrell Henderson, I don't know.
230 yards rushing. So, like, you talk about light boxes. He's going to be able to get a lot of screen passes, right? You know, so he may get him in those form. He's not going to get him as far as trying to sort the game away. I think you give him the ball, easy throws, and that's going to be the way they go about business.
There's five guys who have done it who are still active. Brady, Mahomes, Winston, Roethlisberger's done it, and Stafford.
Winston.
Also, factor in controlled environment in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So you've got everything kind of coming together. You want to think that Aaron Rodgers can do it?
Yeah.
You're in Green Bay in the winters, man. Yeah. You can't control everything.
Peyton did it in Mile High.
Yeah.
Right? So the ball's flying 80 yards. It probably helped him out because you know his arm was messed up, those wounded ducks he was throwing late in his career.
Oh, I'm sure it did. And then that was a massive year for him, to be sure. So Stafford is the guy that you may not want to sleep on if you think somebody can actually throw for 6,000 yards. Field Yates in moments. Fantasy Football Marathon continues.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.